just remind you that the man who wrote that last hymn that we sang, Elisha Huffman, was born in a place called Orangeburg, Pennsylvania, and he lived for a while in Lebanon, my hometown. There's one announcement we missed this morning we need to pray about. Mrs. McDonald's cousin came down with a very serious stroke and is in Alamance County Hospital. So we need to remember to pray for that lady. And there are other needs in our assembly, and we need to remember them as well. We're reading this morning from the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 11. I want to deal this morning with the discouraged Christian worker. Discouragement in Christian work. This is going to be a little different than normal this morning, but we want to begin our reading at Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias which was to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and ye say he hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can ask of you and receive, for no one who has ever come to you has been cast off. For the Savior could say, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast off. And we thank you that we came for salvation, for cleansing, we received it. And now we thank you that we can come and ask on behalf of others. We pray for this sister with a stroke and ask your blessing. And we ask in a special way for the Bartlett family and what they're going through in various aspects of the trials. We thank you, our Father, that you're able to take these trials of life and turn them into blessings. For your word says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. So therefore, we just commend all to thee. And now as we study your word, give us something from yourself. Do not send your people away disappointed. May they hear your voice. May they get direction from your word. And may they be encouraged to walk worthily of him who loved us and gave himself for us, even our Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name with thanksgiving. Amen. Inertia has settled down upon the world. Inertia is a tendency to remain in a fixed condition without change. Now we see this in government. No matter whether we look at state government, federal government, county government, city government, it's all there. We see it in people. We are living in a strange day. People like eggs. We like to eat eggs, but we don't like the smell of chickens. And if I build a home too close to a farm and you happen to raise chickens, I may take you to law because your chickens cause flies to gather. You see, people make a lot of garbage, but we don't want a landfill near us. It's okay if it's for somebody else, but don't put it in my backyard. Don't put it near me. And of course, people go to hospitals. And in the course of a hospital, you can hardly go to a hospital without them taking an x-ray. Connected with x-rays is radiation waste. But we don't want a radiation dump anywhere. Who's going to take it? Where do we put it? You see, we need nuclear energy. We need electric. We like our air conditioning. We like all that nuclear energy can give to us through Duke Power and other operating nuclear stations in this country. Where are we going to put the nuclear waste? It's okay if it's in South Carolina, but don't put it in North Carolina. And don't put it near me. And no one is able to make a decision. We don't like the great debt that we have in this country. But don't let any senator or representative cut any program that hurts me. Inertia has settled down upon us in our world, and it has affected the church as well. The disinclination to move or act has affected all areas of society, and it has made inroads upon the people of God as well. In our text, John the Baptist is going through a crisis in his relationship with the Lord. Why? Why, because something wasn't happening. We'd like things to happen. I'd like to see men in Washington who are able to make us take a stand, and a right stand, a stand that we all know should be made, take it and let's go with it. That's what we'd like. And John the Baptist, you see, he was very discouraged because something wasn't happening. He was going through a period of doubt. He was going through a period of depression. He was going through a period of discouragement. Now this happens to God's servants. This happens to the people of God. You see, it happened to John's pattern, Elijah. Remember Elijah under the juniper tree? God sent an angel and baked him a cake. Someone said it was an angel food. But anyway, he sent him and he baked him a cake. You see, now if John, the greatest of the prophets, is discouraged, where does that leave you and me? Where does it leave you and me? How do we measure our ministry? How do we measure our ministry? You see, John was in prison, and he's watching Jesus work, and he couldn't figure out what God is doing. What is God doing today? Well, I'll tell you, he's not idle. He's well aware of all that's going on. Now, if you and I are going to deal with discouragement, if we're going to deal with doubt, we're going to have to ask ourselves and find answers to three serious questions. Question number one, how do I view my own ministry? Question number two, how do others view my ministry? And question number three, how does God view my ministry? The discouraged Christian worker. Now in serving the Lord, there are days when we must sit down and we must measure our ministry. Question number one. How do I measure my own ministry? You see, John came to the conclusion, I'm a failure. You have that in the question that his disciples asked. Are you he that should come? Or should we look for another? Is that strange? No. John was human. He was just like you and just like me. The Word of God says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. It doesn't say there was an archangel or a Superman. John was simply a man. Now, John was an outdoors man. Boy, he dressed that way. Now he's confined to prison. John's in prison. What a change. How would you feel if you were in John's shoes? You know, it's so easy to pass judgment on somebody else. But how would we feel if we were in that other person's shoes? What would it be altogether different? How would I feel if I were in John's condition? Now, it may not be a prison that I'm in. It may be in a position where everything has me discouraged. No matter which way I try to turn, there's a brick wall. Have you ever been there? You ought to be a preacher. You'll get there. You see, how do I view my ministry? Now, the problem is, the Lord Jesus was disappointing John. He was disappointing John. You see, John had a unique privilege. He had the privilege of introducing the Lord Jesus to Israel. He was the one who cried, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." You see, John's message was radical, which means root. It was John who said, "The axe is laid to the root of the tree." John the Baptist was not a man interested in chopping off the branches. He said, "We got to deal with the root." And God always deals with the root. And when he deals with the root, the fruit will take care of itself. You see, John cried, "There's one coming after me whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor. He's going to gather the wheat into the garner. The chaff he's going to burn with unquenchable fire. There's one coming after me. He's going to baptize you with fire." And that's judgment. Now, John is arrested. Our Lord Jesus didn't do anything to have Israel release him. Our Lord came. There was no fire. There was no earthquake. And John was expecting all this to fall, and nothing happened. And John's in prison. And he must scratch his head and he must say, "Does the Lord care? Does the Lord know what I'm going through? Isn't it about time for the fire to fall?" And John's discouraged. Now, this kind of discouragement in Christian service is not unusual. You read biographies? I hope you read biographies of Christian service. You see, if you read about that great preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, my, the discouragements and the times of depression that came over that great preacher. Just take a look at some of the prophets of the Old Testament. Jeremiah, he was a prophet of the heart. And when you read the book of Lamentations, he was a heartbroken prophet. His heart was broken. Elijah, the man of the mountain under the juniper tree. Now, when you and I are examining our own ministry, we have to be careful because we don't always see what God is doing. Too much self-judgment is dangerous. You see, if you're too severe on yourself, it leads to discouragement, and that's sin. If you're not honest enough, and if you're not dealing with yourself as you ought to, it can lead to pride. And that's sin. So any way you go, you lose. And this is why, when we deal with trying to assess our own ministry, we have to be careful. But there's something we can do. We must do what John did. He sent somebody to the Lord. Go to Jesus. We used to sing a hymn in our Sunday school when I was just a little fellow. "Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus." And I'll still remember the chorus, and I won't go into that. Now the Lord had a word for John. It's amazing how the Lord answered John. He says, you go tell John the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. What did he really say? John, you know Isaiah 59. John, you know Isaiah 35. John, you know Isaiah chapter 61. These predicted chapters in the Old Testament tell what the King of Israel, the Messiah, is going to do when he comes to earth. John, remember, I'm at work. John, you did a good job. You did what I told you to do, and that's doing a good job. I didn't send you to perform miracles. See, John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb, but he never performed a miracle. John 10, verse 41 says, John did no miracle, but everything he said about me was true. Isn't that a good testimony? You see, when you look at your own ministry, remember one thing. You're probably wrong. Now, how do others view my ministry? You see, it's one thing for us to look at ourselves. And John certainly did. But how do others look at my ministry? Now, we may give the impression we don't care, but I'll tell you something. Anyone who's sincere about it does. We like to know that we've been a blessing of God in somebody's life. And God knows just how to encourage, and God knows when to encourage. When I was writing this message, God sent somebody to me. I never knew they were coming when I started to write on Friday. I never knew they were coming, but they came. And this person with a deep problem, we sat and talked, became a genuine encouragement to me. God knows how to encourage. Now, we may act as though we don't care what other people say and what other people think, but we do. You see, Jesus answers questions by asking questions. How do others view my ministry? The Lord Jesus here takes us and to the crowd, and he said to the multitude who with whom he was ministering when John's disciples came, and he said to them, what went ye out for to see? A reed shaken with a wind? You see, what is a reed that's shaken with a wind? He let them know, well, if you went to see a reed, you weren't looking for John. For John was not a reed shaken with a wind. And a reed shaken with a wind speaks of a compromiser. You see, this is what the world likes. The world likes a compromiser. A compromiser, friend, is not likely to end up in prison, as John ended. Beware, friends, when you please everybody. If you're a person who wants to please everybody, you better take good stock of yourself. You can't do it. The Word of God says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 26, beware when all men speak well of you. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of the fact that God has given gifts to the church in order that we might grow up and not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. John the Baptist wasn't the kind of a man who came up, got out of bed in the morning, went outside, wet his finger and put it to the wind to see which way the wind's blowing and then go that way. That was not John. John didn't do that. You see, the world likes a compromising Christian. Why? You don't need to pay attention to anything they say. You can't depend on anything. They're compromising. They're always going the way the wind's blowing. John was not that kind of a man. What went you out for to see? How do others view my ministry? Do they view you as wishy-washy, going any way the wind blows? It wasn't so with John. John, what went you out for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? His second question. Were you looking for a man in soft raiment? You see, soft raiment, they live in king's palaces. Are you looking for a celebrity? Oh, the world loves celebrities today. You see, we have our Christian fan clubs. The world wants us to look like, and they want us to act like, a Hollywood crowd. Is that what you're looking for? You don't find it in John. You see, you don't have to pay attention to a celebrity. When I see, you'll forgive me for this, won't you? Well, whether you do or not, it doesn't matter, I'm going to say it. When I see the way crowds gather to listen to some of these singers, like Amy Grant, and a few others, how many would gather to hear an exposition of the doctrine of redemption? I ask myself the question, how many would take the time that they spend listening to somebody sing, and they can sing. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a good voice. I wish I were able to sing. But when I think of the money that's spent on tickets, just for the sake of entertainment, and how many of those people who claim to be believers would be willing to sit and listen to expositions of the doctrines of grace, or the doctrine of election? The moment you mention the doctrine of election, their hands go up in the air and they start labeling you, all because they don't understand it. How many would be willing to sit and listen? See, the world likes celebrities, friends. Our Lord said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A celebrity? You see, a celebrity will never look at the king and say to him, you adulterer. John did. John wasn't afraid of Herod. He said to him, you have no right to have your brother Philip's wife. He said, you're an adulterer. He wasn't afraid. You see, celebrities like money. They like prestige. They like the press. They like luxury, easy living at the expense of others. What did you go out to see? You didn't find it in John. But what did you find? Did you go out to listen to a prophet? Oh, the Lord said, you went out, but you heard more than a prophet. You heard a voice that was predicted of one crying in the wilderness, repent. He's more than a prophet. And then our Lord goes on to describe those people that he asked these questions of. He said, to whom will I liken this generation? He said, this generation is like unto a group of children sitting in the marketplace and crying one to another, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned for you and you have not lamented. In other words, you're like children. Children are in a group and the one says, let's play wedding. I don't wanna. Well then, let's play funeral. I don't wanna. You can't do anything to please them. That's this generation. That's this generation that you and I are living in. We're living in a time of inertia. We have all the problems, but we don't want any solutions to them. We're not willing to sit down and logically think it through. And it has affected the church today. The average person who sits in church today knows so little of the doctrines of the Word of God that it makes you want to weep. I had lunch the other day with my dear brother who's now in Pennsylvania, David Morris. I said, look what I got. And I pulled out something that he's been looking for. It's Gadsby's hymn book. Now, you've probably never heard of it, but the best poetry. He sat across the table from me and he wept as he read one of the hymns. He said, to think this is what the church once believed, and they sang it. And now we don't even hear it. So what will we like in this generation? It's like children playing in the marketplace. I have piped unto you, and you have not danced. I mourned for you, and you have not lamented. We're living in a day, friends, where God said to the generation, what did you go out in the wilderness to see when John was there? A compromiser? Did you go to see a celebrity? Or did you go to see a prophet? You see, the world loves a compromiser. You don't need to listen to him. The world loves a celebrity, for he's a crowd pleaser. But John was none of these. You see, John pleased God. How do I view my ministry? How do others view my ministry? But now we come to the best. How does God view my ministry? How does God view it? And this is most important. It's not how I view it that counts. And really, it's not how people view it that counts. But how does God view it? That's what counts. Now the Lord Jesus had something good to say about John. He said he's a prophet. He's more than a prophet. And then he adds, he's greater than all the prophets. Of them that are born among women, there have not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. To have your ministry viewed by God. John didn't say that about himself. John looked at himself. He said, I'm a failure. God said of John, John, you're the greatest success. You're greater than Elijah. You're greater than Isaiah. You're greater than Jeremiah. You're greater than Hosea. You're greater than all these men. Now, John wasn't born a prophet. John was born a priest. Why was he a prophet? I'll tell you why. He was a prophet because the priesthood had failed. The prophets were raised up in Israel when there was a failure in the priesthood. Now, while John's parents were godly, Zacharias and Elizabeth were godly, as we read in the first chapter of Luke. They were godly. We are not told of others at that time who were. You see, when we think of prophets, what do you think of? There's great Isaiah. He was sawed in two. Tradition has it that he was placed in a hollow log and then the log sawed in half. And Isaiah with him. And that's why we read in Hebrews 11 that some were sawn asunder. John the Baptist, he was beheaded. Jeremiah was a prophet of the heart. He was heartbroken. What is our problem today? Today the church is a non-profit corporation. I say that with tongue in cheek. You know what I mean. You see, a church has a non-profit corporation with a state. But we are lacking today in the ministry of the Word of God. We must be a conscience in the world in which we live. Now, all we sing, onward Christian soldiers. But in our days of inertia, you see, like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We'd be better off to sing, like a mighty tortoise moves the church of God. Brethren, we are treading where we've always trod. You see, same ground. Do we want a preacher who's a prophet announcing the message of God? Or do we want a celebrity? Or a compromiser? Oh, when John viewed himself, he said, oh, I'm a failure. When God viewed him, he said, John, you're a success. You did what I told you to do. But more than that, the Lord not only said of John that he's a prophet and greater than the prophets, he said, you're my messenger. You're my messenger. Think of that. Oh, what a privilege every saved individual has. Every saved individual has the privilege of being God's messenger wherever he is to announce the message of God. This is how the church, by the way, was built in Argentina. The church in Argentina was built by ordinary people. By people who went out from England and Scotland to work in building in Argentina. And they went with the purpose of proclaiming the gospel. And building was secondary to them. And God did a mighty work. Are you God's messenger? How are you using your opportunities? Are you a God's messenger or are you a popular Christian worker? Which would you rather be? Are you God's messenger or a great Sunday school teacher? Which would you rather be? The Lord said of John, he was a bright and a shining light. You see, Jesus was a light. John was only the lamp that diffused the light. Jesus was the word. John said, I'm the voice. No, you can't see the voice. You can't see a voice. You hear a voice. Oh, we like to be seen. We like to be seen. If I were to tell you all the thoughts I get when I write sermons, you'd be surprised. Would you be as anxious to sing in the choir if the choir sang from the back and you couldn't be seen? How would a cantata go singing it from the rear and the people sit not looking at you? Ever think of it? John said, I'm the voice. Just the voice. The voice can't be seen. But the message, friends, was heard. Jesus said, I'm the bridegroom. John said, I'm not the bride. I'm only the best man. I'm only the friend of the bridegroom. That's who John was. Today, I'll tell you what we need. We need fewer reeds shaken with the wind. We need fewer celebrities hawking their wares. But we need men with a message. No matter what you say, it is the message that counts. No matter how you argue, for it pleased God by the preaching of the gospel to save them that believe. I have to ask myself a question this morning. Has the inertia of the present day affected me in my life and witness for Jesus Christ? We're living in a day of indecision. Does it make any difference to me? Have I set my goal? And am I saying to myself, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. There's one thing ahead, the prize to be given in that day. Let us not be compromisers. Let us not seek to be celebrities and let us not seek to be crowd pleasers. When I read Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, this is what he says. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's what John was. He wasn't a celebrity, but he was faithful. He wasn't a compromiser, but he was faithful. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And you and I have the privilege today of crying in the wilderness of doubt, of discouragement, of disappointment. And we have the message of God. And by the way, we have the only message from God. There isn't any other. What are we doing with it? As we examine ourselves, we all have to say we're a failure. We have to say that whether we like it or not. Because the Lord said, when you have done everything you have been told to do, you must confess that you are an unprofitable servant. It doesn't matter how much my neighbors pat me on the back. What does God say? And that's what counts. It's required in a servant, in a steward, that he be found faithful. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of thy dear Son, we bow before you. We thank you in Jesus' name that in days of darkness, in days of discouragement, we have thee, the faithful God, who views every detail of our lives, who ultimately determines and rewards. We ask you to search us today. Deliver us, O God, from the inertia and lethargy of our generation, and enable us to proclaim with vigor the unsearchable riches of Christ. May we not be satisfied with a status quo. Deliver us from having an overdose of the ordinary. Enable us, O God, to press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we'll thank you. And now we commend this company to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and give them an inheritance among all that are sanctified through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.